Usually, if they'd lost this game, you know, if they were in Colorado, they'd fly right out afterwards. But, like, it takes some time, correct? Like, they probably don't get out until tomorrow. They don't get out later tonight, will they?
I think that they would probably exit tomorrow.
Yeah.
But anybody, like, they're all expected to still behave as though they're in the bubble, right?
Yeah. So they can't go out.
You can't go hit White Ave and, you know.
although, you know what's funny? Mm-hmm. Them and Chicago are the only two teams at the one hotel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the two teams left at the Sutton. So they're both out. Maybe those two can, because they just won't go into the other hotel.
Wow, but there's probably lots of NHL employees and such that are at the other hotel too, right? So now, if a player was angry, got back to the hotel, you know, packed his crap, booked himself a hotel room at the you know, Hotel Mac, and like hopped in an Uber down to the Hotel Mac, checked in, and wanted to have at her tonight, I'm sure, I don't know what you could do to stop him. Like, season's over, right? So my guess is that they stay in the bubble and they hang out and then, you know, catch their flights and are out of here as of tomorrow. But I don't know if you could prevent somebody from leaving the bubble if they wanted to or not. Probably not. Probably just pack up and go. But then you're on your own, right? You're just kind of on your own.
You know, I think when you start now getting into more of the core teams of the playoffs, you know, after this, the real first round, I think it's fair you can start looking at comparisons of some of the teams that moved on to the Edmonton Oilers.
Sure.
And when you look at a team like a Colorado, you know, there's a bit of a ways there to go. You know, in your opinion, Shagar, what would be kind of the biggest area the Oilers have to grow to start matching up against Colorado, which is looking like a team that could be a strength or a really strong group for the next number of years in the Western Conference?
Well, you need to have great goaltending, first and foremost, and you need to defend better as a team. So I think, you know, I don't think the Oilers are going to turn themselves into some, you know, sort of defensive specialist type team. But I think as a group, they need to defend better and they need more reliable goaltending. So I think you probably start there, Struds. I mean, same as the debrief when the season ended for them, you know, the things we looked at and thought needed to be better for them. So, I mean, their special teams were excellent. Their power play and penalty kill were very good. I think, you know, they might not be number one and two again next year, but if they're number four and six, that's fine, right? You want to stay in the top 10 in both of those disciplines if you can. And then you check that box. Special teams are good. But defending 5-on-5 and being able to not allow so much against, I think, is important. And so you look to upgrade the blue line and give yourself more competition in net that can potentially reach a higher level.
Well, when I watch Colorado play, you know, and Greg's and I was too probably heard us, I think that they're a team that skates well, but they play, I'm not going to say they're really physical, but they play big. You know, you look at something like Zadorov, McKinnon, Landeskog, Nikushkin. Like, these are big guys that, what's the Finnish guy there? Rantanen. You know,
Rantanen,
big
yeah.
guys that have big bodies that aren't afraid to go in that. Nazem Kadri, I can't even believe I forget. So, you know, I look at that. You know, do the Oilers have the players up front that can compete with that kind of thing? Not necessarily a knock them down, drag them out type of fight, but a fight that is over seven games. It's going to be a long physical battle.
Yeah, well, McDavid can handle himself fine in that situation. Leon Draisaitl definitely checks that box. You know, Yamamoto, if he's going to be in your top six, well, he's not the prototypical player that can function in a series like that. I wouldn't worry about him getting shoved out of a series the way Johnny Gaudreau might. I think that there's a different level of, you know, try there from Yamamoto. So not ideal size-wise, but I wouldn't necessarily make that a strike against him. Nugent Hopkins, you know, I think he can handle himself in that situation. So we're through four guys that are in their top six, and you're not in bad shape. Now, you throw Tyler Ennis in that top six. You throw some other smaller guys in that top six. Yeah, I think you probably want to go the other way with it, right? You want guys that have some size and can skate. And, you know, James Neal, if he's in your top six, if he's skating well enough, you know, he can play that kind of game. So I hear what you're saying, and I think it's a good thing to have, and I think they do need to be conscientious about not having too many water bugs in their lineup, you know, the smaller, faster guys that couldn't necessarily, through a seven-game series, be able to play the style you're talking about that you're going to need against some of these better teams.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, I was going through the free agent list today for right shot defensemen. And, you know, because you look at the orders, if that's an area of, you know, maybe, you know, they're looking to make a move there potentially, you know, with Benning or Larson possibly. And so, you know, if you trade Larson, maybe it's for a forward to Toronto, just spitballing. And that leaves then, you know, to free agency to look. And the reality is there's not a lot of great, puck moving defensemen who are free agents at all. So, you know, I wonder, you know, if then you go the trade route, or do you have any interest in Brandon Montour?
Yeah, I like Brandon Montour.
Do you like him at his existing contract?
What's he at?
He's at 3.4, basically.
Yeah. I think that there's a player there. I remember when he was a younger player trying to break his way into that lineup. I believe it was with Anaheim in that playoff series against the Oilers. I think it was. And I remember thinking, there's definitely a player in there. He moves well, nice mobility. You know, you wonder how much offensive upside there is in his game. But I always liked the way that he moved out there. Tough couple of years in Buffalo for a lot of people, I would say. Now, in terms of helping you make sure that you're, you know, that you can defend the way that you want to, I would probably need to see a little bit more of him to figure out where his game is at defensively. But he was one of those guys that when he moved, I sort of felt like, you know, I wonder if the Oilers wouldn't have been able to have been in on that. And I can't remember what he moved for. I'm not sure if one of you guys can call that up at the time, but I remember feeling like, you know, I wonder if the Oilers would have been able to figure out that price tag.
Brandon Montour, he got traded for a first rounder and Brandon Gooley.
That's right. Gooley's a local product, I think, right?
And sure,
a first
Park,
round
yep.
pick. So, yeah, maybe you wouldn't have wanted to give up that first round pick. So, but yeah, I like Brandon Montour. I've liked his game over the years, and he's 26 now, so he's not a young guy like he was back then, but, yeah, I think he would be on a list of guys that shoot right that you would potentially take a look at.
Well, I want to ask you, so Greg, I heard you talking about it earlier. If you're trading Adam Larson to Toronto for either Johansson or
Kapanen,
are they that much different than Anthony? I'm assuming in this scenario the Oilers are giving up Anthony. So the trade then becomes 2 seconds and Adam Larson for Kapanen or Johansson.
Well, I don't know if you can necessarily do Johansson. That's right. First of all, Kapanen's a right shot, right? So, you know, that's different than Athanasiou right there. But, yeah, I see your point, right? I look at, you know, at Kasperi Kapanen maybe a little bit quicker. You know, you look at different players, though, right? Like, Athanasiou is a guy who likes to have the puck, right? So does he necessarily match with McDavid and Draisaitl? I haven't seen enough to really know that for sure. So I see your point, right? Because both those guys, well, Kapanen, I think, makes 3.4 mil. So,
yeah, they're around the same.
Like, I think if that trade, there's got to be more to it than just straight up one for one.
Yeah, I would think so. And, you know, because Larson's got, 1 year left on his deal? You know, and is Toronto, how they're going to feel about trading for a guy that they have 1 year, of? I guess maybe take a look-see. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Struds. And like, I think the Oilers need to figure out what they're doing with Athanasiou. If you're trading
Toronto
Larson,
could make the trade, though, thinking that they're going to re-sign him, because Cody Ceci and Tyson Barrie are UFAs. They might lose both of them, right?
Right, but if you're the Oilers and you're trading Adam Larson for a forward, what are you doing on your blue line? Like, are you just thinking, Struds, that you maybe can address it in free agency? Or, I mean, I feel like they need to, if they're going to move out a guy that basically plays top 4 minutes for them, wouldn't you need to figure out a deal that brings a guy back that can play in your top four on the blue line? Because now all you've done is make yourself worse on the blue line by trading Adam Larson for a forward.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, Greg's, he's made the point that there has to be a reshuffling of the way it looks in the back end. You know, it doesn't have to be everyone because they're players, but you want maybe a different look. And I agree with that. But I'm in the mindset I'd like to see Anthony again. You know, I just think there's so much there that can be done. And, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe he doesn't play at the top two lines. But if you're moving out Adam Larson to bring in a guy that can play on a winger in about the same amount of money, why not just keep the guy you have and see if he can get better? Rather than, you know, and you know, if you're dead set that Anthony Seawood is not better, and not you, but like if Holland thinks that, okay, then you're going to do that. But, you know, again, you just gave up 2 seconds. I just can't see Ken Holland walking away from that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of scratch to give up for a guy who really didn't do much for, what is it, 15 game guys, 20, whatever the number is.
Yeah,
15,
and I think maybe you look for a solution. We've talked about it lots. You got to figure out what the player has in mind and where he feels his value is, the agent. And if you can figure out a multi-year deal, that's kind of gives him an opportunity to, like, I think you need Dave Tippett to get his hands on Anthony Seawood for a full season. I think that's part of the reason why they thought this would be an okay idea. Whatever they got from him for the rest of this year, okay, but you want Dave Tippett game 1 through 50 of the regular season to be able to work with Anthony Seawood. Post-trade deadline games, and it's like you're jockeying for playoff position, you're not looking to experiment and mess around too much, right? But I think I'd be curious to see what Dave Tippett could do with that player. So I don't know if there's a deal that can be worked out or not, but I like a lot of what I see there. There's some skill there. There's some speed there. He can make plays at speed. You know, he hits the blue line, and he can actually find some guys and make some plays. So there's some things I like there, but there's some other stuff that I don't really like. But you wonder how Dave Tippett could maybe impact that, right? So, you know, I don't know that I'd be willing to cut bait on that too, just given the price that you had to give up for him. But you can't necessarily overpay. So I don't know. Free agency, you know, trying to fix your blue line with free agency would be tough, Greg. To your point, you know, you go through the list. Like, what's Travis Hamonic going to do next year?
Well, interesting question. Yeah, who knows what he's going to do? Would he be someone I'd look at? Yeah, for sure.
Lots of experience, veteran presence. Defends reasonably well. Like, I think he's more of a defender. As a puck mover, you'd want to look at some stats. And what's that?
Is he that much different than Larson? I feel like I'm being Mr. Negative here, but
if you're getting rid of Larson, you're doing it because you think you're going to be somebody who moves the puck better.
Yes, yeah, so you're kind of, and I'm exactly. guessing he might be more expensive than Larson is. So why not just keep Larson?
And then need more speed. Free agency.
Well, yeah, because what is he at right now? Yeah, he's just under $4 million. He's been a good deal for a long time, so I can't see. Well, I guess it depends how long you go.
Knock it out of the park though, either, right? So I don't know. I mean, maybe if you move Larson out and look at bringing a guy in at $4 to $5 million, if you feel like you can upgrade your puck moving a little bit, maybe eyeball doing something like that, like. The other thing about Larson that is a bit concerning for me, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I feel like Adam Larson hasn't played his best hockey with any sort of consistency for any stretch of time at all in the last 2 or 3 years. Like, he's either been hurt, didn't look good coming back off the COVID layoff here, so it didn't look good then. He's got back issues that keep coming up on him that I think affect his skating and his ability to play the way he's supposed to play. I mean, he's a battler, and I definitely respect him a lot, but I just wonder how healthy he's going to be moving forward and if, you know, how many of his real good days are ahead of him. I'm not really sure. Hamonic, you know, I'm looking at his games played. You know, he was 50 this year, 69 the year before, 74, 49. Like, you know, he's got lots of experience, and I think he's well-liked by his teammates. I don't know. I don't know if that would be a better option than Larson.
Sugar, it'll be an interesting offseason, but I definitely think there's going to be some changes on the Oilers back end, just a matter of
I would agree.
And where.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there needs to be, and it's just figuring out what and who and how you make sure you get better. That's the thing. You move pieces around on the board. If you're not making yourself better, you're not doing any good. So they got to figure out how to make themselves better by making some of those changes, and that's what they get paid for.
Sure, we'll chat with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Yeah, see you guys.